So after the Mavericks game ended, I was so, like, just geared up. It was like a massive coffee buzz had hit me, and I mean, like, I couldn't sit down. I'm just running around the house, and trying to get into that hockey game was so weird. To go from one to the other and to forget about it, because you think about, that's one of the biggest wins in this franchise's history. And you kind of want to see what everybody is saying. You want to watch the TNT guys. You want to look at the national narrative. You want to hear the post-game show. Like, there's so much going on that you want to talk. But, yeah, there's another Game 7. And you got to toggle over there. Whether it's, you know, when they're up 46 or after the game, it was such a weird thing to do. But by the time most people went over there, the Stars had already scored. And the vibes were really good. And by the time I went over there live, it was near the end of the first. It was 1-1 by that point.
All right.
And consuming really the first period, the first full live period is second period, I couldn't believe what I was seeing as far as one team looking like a machine, an unstoppable force that was stopped by a guy that was having the series of his life. Let's face it, Jake Oettinger may never have a series like this the rest of his life. Ever. Because the numbers that he put up are literally, historically, top three statistically of all time in a seven-game series.
Well, and it's not the type of record you want to set.
From a team standpoint.
No, it's just, no goalie wants to be in a position where they have to make that many saves. It's actually a dubious honor. As courageous and as awesome as Jake Oettinger was, the Dallas Stars should be getting to work right now to make sure they never ask one of their goalies to do that ever again. I mean, that's where I would be on this, is it's kind of, I don't want to lay into them too hard because they almost won it, but that's almost embarrassing that you ask your goalie to see 134 pucks in one game. That's crazy. That's crazy. 134 pucks were shot at his net in yesterday's game. That was 70% of the puck share over roughly, I don't know, how many minutes in the overtime?
What did they score with it? Eight to go?
Eight or nine, yeah.
All right, so 71, 72 minutes of hockey last night, and he's facing two pucks per minute the entire time. And it's, you know, it's one thing if that happens and you're playing, you know, the 86 or 87 Edmonton Oilers and they've got 11 Hall of Famers on their team or something. Calgary's good. Calgary, I don't think, is anyone's pick to hold the Stanley Cup this year. They're fine. They're probably not going to win the Cup. They're a decent, you know, division-winning team. That's good. But I think if you talk to 100 NHL experts, I'm not sure how many of them would rank them in their top three teams. But Calgary looked like a dynasty times against the Stars over the course of 2 weeks. They just did. And so, you know, we, in this world of either everything's great or everything sucks, I don't think either is true with the Stars. I mean, they made the playoffs. That's hard to do. They got 98 points. That's hard to do. They fought their living tails off against Calgary, being outmanned the entire time. That's hard to do. But I'd like to think that the takeaway from this is, number one, just not anywhere close to good enough offensively. And number two, as good as Miro Heiskanen and Jake Oettinger are, we need to figure out how to use their powers without asking them to do everything back there. And they're going to lose Klingberg. They just are. I don't see any way around that. Financially, they're wrecked because of other contracts, which we've talked about ad nauseum. And I would just say that the bones are there in their in what they have. They've got a lot of talented kids. I'm a little bothered by Jason Robertson's entire playoff. I'm not going to let that erase 2 years of regular season success, but they've got a lot of nice pieces. I loved what I saw last night from a lot of the kids that we had never really even seen in the playoffs. Ty Dellandrea was great. Mm-hmm. Jacob Peterson looks like a real keeper. I mean,
if he would have scored on that breakaway.
Yeah. I mean, lots and lots of really nice pieces. But in the end, they just don't seem to have nearly enough when you get to this time of year against these teams. Otherwise, they wouldn't ask Ben Bishop to do this exact same thing against St. Louis in 2019, where it was like the exact same game seven, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where they're getting outplayed. They're hanging on.
But isn't it cool? I mean, look, I get it. They lost. They don't have enough. We've said it all. You've said it all year long.
They're outshot 134-59.
They don't have enough.
Not near enough.
But isn't it cool to know that if you keep him around and he stays healthy, that you have a kid that can literally take you to heights from that position that you haven't seen in 25 years?
They've been looking for a goaltender like that for a long time.
Yes, and I mean,
and that's hard to find.
How much of that is hockey? Having that horse back there, it's huge.
Yeah. I mean, Marty Turco had a very similar series to this in 07 against Vancouver. In fact, I think Ottinger broke a lot of Turco's marks from that series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But really, since then, it's been, I mean, you had Kari and high expectations, maybe under-delivered, and it's just kind of been a rotating door.
Yep.
Even
No, they need
when you
this.
Look at the start of this season.
No, so. That's the thing is, you know, amidst the rapidly growing old expensive part of the roster, they have actually nailed on enough kids that you can actually sort of see a bridge to the future. Not quite sure how you get there, given all the no trade clauses and I don't know.
It's a sticky situation.
Yeah, and I don't want to have the exact same conversation every time we talk about this team. But looking at last night's game, on one hand, you're super proud of Ottinger and those guys for fighting their tails off, and on the other hand, you're frustrated that in that situation. And by the way, we haven't even mentioned, this is the key of last night's game. Right before the opening faceoff, Roope Hintz was scratched. And he clearly, like a lot of guys, is dealing with something health-wise, tried to give it a go, was in the pregame skate, actually turned in the paperwork that he was playing. Garianoff probably putting his street clothes on, and then at the last second they slam on the brakes and say, Garianoff, you're in. Roope can't go. Don't know what happened there, but that is your best forward. And I don't even think there's any question about it. I love Pavelski. I certainly love Robertson. If I have to pick one forward to take to next season, it's Roope Hintz, and I don't have any hesitation whatsoever.
Yeah,
that was
a bummer.
So to play in that game without your number one forward took you from a disadvantageous spot to a horribly disadvantageous spot, and now you're fighting uphill from there.
Look,
so it's a bummer. Corsi each period. These are attempts on goal. 37-15 in the first. 37-15. Second, 43-10.
That's the worst best period I've ever seen.
Third was 28-18. So you actually felt like, okay, those numbers are at least sort of close to each other. We only got outshot by 10. And then, 26-16. So 134-59. I'm not saying it has to be even. I am saying you have to be in the same general area code. They were not.
Dude, if he's not playing out of his mind, it's 9-2.
It's horrible.
Out of his mind.
Yeah.
What about that flurry in overtime?
Oh yeah, dude. God.
Holy crap. I don't know. I mean,
and then the goal.
How does he do that? How does he see that?
It's just crazy because he was so, I mean, he was good in the regular season, but in the playoffs, he was a totally different dude. Like, and I just feel like that's what you want to see. Like, if you can rise to the occasion, it's like Luka in a big game like that and really over deliver what anybody's expecting out of you.
Yeah.
That's why I have hope for the future.
Well, he checks all the boxes. I'm just simply saying at this level, you can't ask your goalie.
No, it was terrible.
To do that.
They didn't want to.
Yeah, I know.
But
they
he was just good enough that that you could kind of believe if they score, then you go to the next round and then you don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, a couple weeks ago, I was -2 about it's like, oh, we're probably not even going to make the playoffs. Like, that's why I thought I didn't need a babysitter for today. And I had all this stuff happening when y'all asked me a question earlier. But when you're in it and you're in the moment and it's the playoffs and it's a game 7 and you have all those guys working their tails off,
yeah,
just dying to win, and who knows what'll happen. A guy like Jamie Benn, I mean, that's when you buy in and you think you have a shot.
Yep.
And everyone was thinking maybe we had a shot.
Yeah, so Goudreau ends it from the goal line with no angle and no opening and probably an opening the size of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich right over Ottinger's shoulder. Somehow he hit it with the puck, and of course that's how it ends. So
how about Goudreau after all those saves that Ottinger had against him where he's just looking around going, what's happening up there?
Dude, Goudreau was so good last night. He's so good in this whole series. He only scored on that penalty shot and then that goal. But, I mean, those are the types of difference makers up front that win these series. And, you know, unfortunately, the Stars did not have difference makers up front again. And so back to the drawing board. I guess we'll run it back next year. I don't know what they can do, but I'm anxious to see what they do. I mean, there's any number of options, I suppose. If the owner's mad, we could see some big alterations, a la what the Mavs did last summer. I don't know. I don't know, but they were good enough to make the playoffs. They deserve credit for that. But they were outclassed, I think, for about 2 weeks, and they probably hit their ceiling by making Calgary work that hard to beat them.
Did you comment on the handshake line yet?
No, but that was cool.
That was pretty special, man.
Where they're in awe of him, and like everybody,
every dude on Calgary's team spent an extra 20 seconds with Ottinger,
like shaking their head, like, going, "Dude,
yeah, dude,
yeah,
you're ridiculous."
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, it was a bummer for sure. Although I am happy that if it was going to be a bummer, let's not be a bummer at 3:30 in the morning. Let's be a bummer right
yeah,
before midnight.
And on a night where it was clearly, I mean, all the announcers could talk about. And we were talking a game 7 with Calgary, the overwhelming favorite to win this series in a game 7 on the road. All the conversation was about Ottinger.
That's it.
The entire conversation. And the fact that he got beat on a miracle goal. I mean, that angle is impossible. And it takes incredible skill, which all those guys have. But to thread that needle at that angle, I'm glad he got beat on an impossible goal rather than making a mistake on something, on a rebound in front of the net where maybe he shifted his weight in the wrong direction,
right,
or something like that. It was very fitting that an impossible goal is the one that beat him.
Where he's looking like off to the side at the girl with big boobs in the front row on accident. Like, oh, crap.
I was listening to you, coach.
Yeah.
Listening to your advice on goaltending.
Yeah. All right. Good job. Good effort. And back to the drawing board we go.
More than any of us expected.
Yeah.
Out of that first round. It was a hell of a lot of fun.
It was a fun series,
no
for
doubt.
Sure. And Friday night was a madhouse. And so it's fun to get a couple home dates where the barn can be singing. And the Stars give everybody a big fun night. You know what I've done? I know we're late, but you know what I've pulled off?
Mm.
I've been to one Mavs and one Stars playoff game. Do you know how many playoff games the Mavs have lost at home?
One.
Do you know how many Stars playoff games were lost at home?
One.
I've been at both of them.
Aww.
Can't go to any more.
I've seen zero wins.
You're that guy.
Mr. Sturm needs to stay his ass at home.
That's right.
Maybe he'd haul off and retire.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.